Well, that song that you all sang this morning is my testimony of the desire of my heart. There is nothing that I want more, nothing even close, than wanting to be able to live my life so that the Lord will be satisfied with me. I can't do it without Him. We've preached that here before, and I firmly believe we cannot earn our way into heaven. I can't do enough good works so that the Lord looks at me and says, you know, I think you have duly earned your way. I can't do enough. There's not enough lists that are big enough for me to have earned my way in. I understand that. It's by the blood of Jesus and His mercy. But there are responsibilities that I have that I must pay attention to for the Lord's mercy to be extended to me. And there's nothing that I want more than to live my life so that He'll be satisfied with the decisions that I made. So that when I face Him at the judgment, when I face God at the judgment, I want Jesus to be standing by my side. I want His blood stain to be seen in my hand. I want the reflection of Christ to be looking back at Him when I stand in judgment. I want Him to be satisfied with me. I want to make it more than anything else in life. Every day, that's my desire. And the desire of my heart this morning is to bring you a little message. If we could talk a little bit this morning about the importance of keeping our heart with all diligence, because that's what's going to be required for the Lord to be satisfied with us. We read in the Sunday school this morning where Jesus read out of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," or "hath anointed me to preach the gospel." And I want you to know this morning, I feel so desperate for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to anoint what is said. I need His help. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be able to preach the gospel with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for your prayers that the Spirit of the Lord will be with us today. Let me start with this. You know, the life, the world that we live in, this is serious stuff. This is real. This is the real deal. Life is not a joke. It's not fake. It's not a dream. There are times we probably wish that it were a dream. There are times we probably wish we could wake up and have whatever it is that's facing us not be real. Kyle and I were talking this morning coming to service about some of the realities of life. Life is real. It's not always easy. And I want to say that the decisions that we make are going to affect in a very real way what happens when we get to the end of the way and we face the Lord. He's coming back to find out how we handled the talents that He gave to us. It's real. It's not just in our heads. It's not just something to talk about in some theological realm or something that we can sit across from each other at the dinner table and not have practical application in our life. The Word of God was written in a way that it has practical application to my life and to how I live and to the decisions that I make and what I do, what I involve myself with, what I think about, what I meditate on, what I let my affections go to. It has practical application to my life. Life is real. The judgment is real. The Holy Spirit is real. The enemy of our souls is real. The enemy cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you believe it? It's real. There is an enemy of our soul that knows who you are, knows your name. He knows my name. He knows Rod Smith's weaknesses. Yes, the Rod Smith that was born in 1971 on June 12th. He knows who I am. And he knows my weaknesses. And he is out to steal from me the very thing that the Lord wants to be of value to me. It's true. It's real. It's not just something to talk about in church and in Sunday school. It's real. The enemy is out to take away from me that the Lord intended to give me, to fulfill me in my life. The devil intends to steal eternal life from us ultimately. And so the scriptures tell us, Solomon told us, and he didn't follow his own instruction. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The enemy is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that includes me and it includes you. And we live in a world today where more and more it seems like everything seems to go in one quarter or another. I mean, we may not be there in every area, but more and more, that is the trend, is it not? Things can go today that never used to be able, people can get by with. But today, that's what's happening more and more. The erosion of moral principles and standards. The elimination of hard lines between right and wrong. I want to tell you something this morning in the fear of the Lord. There are some black and white do's and don'ts. As much as the world would like there to not be, there are things that are wrong and there are things that are right. But more and more, there is an attack on that. To just kind of let things go, and there's no need to have a lot of energy around putting so much focus on certain things happen to be a certain way. Just kind of let it go and just be happy and enjoy life and it's how you think about it and just how you're dealt with about it. And Jesus said, will I find faith when I come back? He did so much for us. He gave so much to us. I feel like the Lord gave me a message the other day, and it's not my message this morning. But He told, through Daniel, He told Belshazzar. When Belshazzar went and took the vessels from the temple. And remember, he used them to satisfy his flesh. And you know the story. The handwriting on the wall. He tried to get the interpretation. Finally, Daniel came. And do you know what Daniel told? One of the things he told Belshazzar, he said, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Nebuchadnezzar wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel. And Belshazzar had that. And Daniel told him, you knew these things. You knew these things. But you did differently. Even though you knew them. And Jesus said, Will I find faith in the earth? I've done so much. I've paid the price. But will I find faith when I come back? I want him to find faith in me. I want him to come back and find me being diligent to know and to understand and to give myself to living for the Lord like He wants me to live. And yet around us, I understand why the Lord said that. Look at what's happening around us. The erosion of what we talked about, right and wrong. Isaiah said there's going to come a time when they put out wrong for right and right for wrong and sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. It turns everything upside down. Look at what people do today. They do things that used to just would not be accepted, but today it's good. Because we think about it differently, see? Right? That's what they say today. Well, we don't think about it the same. Well, Isaiah prophesied about that a long time ago. They'll turn it upside down and call things right that are not right. Call things wrong that are not wrong. That's an attack that we are facing. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I want to be careful. With what carefulness ought we to walk as Christians? Amen. Jonathan said this morning about familiarity breeds contempt, and I was thinking about, I've mentioned this before, probably will many more times, that exposure breeds familiarity. And then familiarity then breeds tolerance. And tolerance breeds acceptance. And acceptance pretty soon breeds sin. The enemy works in just that fashion. Puts things out and exposes us to things to where pretty soon we become familiar. We may not agree with it, but we're sure enough familiar with it. And after a while, we begin tolerating it because we feel like we don't have any other choice. So we start tolerating it. Wrong. It's around us. We're familiar with it. Now we have to tolerate it because of the way that the things are in life. And if you're not very careful with time, you begin to accept it. And then with a little more time, you don't just accept that, well, maybe that's somebody else's belief, but it will creep right into our hearts. And the enemy works this way. The enemy doesn't just come to us one day and turn our belief system upside down and say, you know what, you're just fine to throw away everything that you've been taught and live this other way. That's not the way the enemy works. He comes in here a little and there a little, just like we learn here a little and there a little. He takes away from us here a little and there a little. That's how the enemy will work. He'll come in and begin to expose us to something and say, you don't have to believe it, but here it is. And when we get past that, then the enemy comes in and just, you know, tolerate it a little bit. Christians need to be tolerant. And, well, you're familiar with it. Well, just accept it. And pretty soon we're like Eve and we're eating the stuff after a while. When the Lord said, don't touch it. Don't go there. You can have all of this other, but don't partake of the fruit of that tree. And do you think that she got up one morning after always never avoiding it with her life? And then said, you know what, I think I'm going to take a bite of that fruit. I don't think that's what happened. I can just see the enemy. He didn't say you couldn't look at it. So she looked at it. Well, he didn't say you couldn't smell it. So she smells it. Well, he didn't say you couldn't lick it. He just said don't eat it. And so she starts licking it. Pretty soon she's eating it. And then look what happened. Then she took it to her husband. Pretty soon, it affected not only him, it affected their children, it affected those that came after. That's the way the enemy works. Keep thy heart with all diligence. So many people sell out their soul for a bowl of soup, a bowl of lentils. Sell out their inheritance. Just like Esau. Oh, he thought he was hungry. Oh, he was hungry. He had a need for something. And he sold it out for a bowl of soup. And people do that. All the world is filled with people all around us that are selling their souls. For what? For things that have so little value in the end. So many people are being deceived into believing, well, that's not so bad. Well, it's okay to allow this. Well, God's not so concerned about the details of this. You can allow that. You can handle that. He knows your heart. Does it sound familiar? That's how the enemy works, and it's how he brings strong people down. It's how he brings strong people down. Just a little here, a little there. Build on it. And if we don't keep our heart with diligence, we had a message, I believe, here sometime back on having a spiritual sense of urgency. Maintaining urgency. A spiritual sense of urgency every day. Why? Because this is at work. The enemy of our soul, he's busy trying to get me to fall. And if you don't stay busy about your Father's business, which is His business is to get you to take His cause and make it your cause in life. And if we're not busy, we are going to be overcome. Sometimes I feel like we are asleep. Sometimes I feel like maybe I've said this here before, I don't know. Brother Salmon used to talk about the dream he had when he went out on the street and people were just running down the street, you know, towards destruction. And he went out there and he knew that there was a drop-off or destruction at the end. And he went out just hollering at people, trying to get their attention to tell them what was at the end of the road. And no one would listen to him. And they just kept running full force down the street. He's out there hollering, trying to get their attention to tell them. And they just full bore to their deaths, like a bunch of lemmings. He didn't say that. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes I feel like people are like lemmings. They in mass rush for the edge of the cliff and jump off. And there are people who are saying, stop! Wait! Wake up! Do you know what you're doing? Do you have the Spirit of the Lord on your life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? There's danger out there. Why are you making this decision? Where does this road lead? I feel like sometimes we're asleep. Sometimes I feel like just almost literally shaking people. I don't mean that I look at everybody and judge you and have names in mind of shaking, but you understand what I'm saying. To just wake the world up. Wake our congregations up. Wake society up. Wake my children up. Wake everyone up. Wake myself up. Wake up, Rod. This is real. There is an end point for you, Rod. You're gonna see a last day is gonna come. What are you doing with today? Are you awake to what you're doing? Where are you going? You say, oh, this isn't so bad. Well, is it a little bad? Does it glorify the Lord? What's it going to do for my children that come after me? If I let this standard down and I break this wall down and this is no longer important to me, then what is it going to do for those that don't have the knowledge that God has given me? And that's the starting point that I give them. And we say, well, the Lord will deal with them. God has given us, He's given you a responsibility to arise from where you are and lead those that are coming after you. That's a responsibility that He gives us. Like He did to Joshua when He said, Moses is gone now. He's done his time. It's your turn now. It's your turn to arise. You get up now and follow the word of the Lord in every way. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. That's what He told Joshua. He said, but you do everything just like I've commanded. And He said, and if you do, there's land out there for you to possess. And it can be yours. And that's what the Lord's saying to us this morning. He said, I have land for you. It's there for you to possess. But you have to be careful that you understand. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Don't let down. Be awake. Be spiritually awake. Be active. I read this account the other day in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. Listen to what he said in the 30th verse. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Listen, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. What a sad account. It didn't have to be this way. This didn't have to happen like this. And yet, it describes exactly the times that we're living in today. This is happening over and over and over again. This same sort of thing is already discussed. Spiritually, there's spiritual laziness. There's neglect. There's a lack of sense of urgency. There's a lack of taking up our cross. Saints, take your cross up. There's a cross. Don't try to avoid it. Don't try to act like there's one that's not there. Don't try to figure out how to live the life of a Christian with no cross. There's a cross. It's associated with the life of a Christian. Listen, let me tell you this. There's a cross that's associated without living a life of a Christian. And it's a heavier cross than the Christian's cross. I don't want anything to do with that cross. But I also want to tell you this morning. As a Christian, there's a cross. And if I try to live my life where I can figure out how to live like a Christian with no cross, I haven't figured out what a Christian life is all about. Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If I have trouble in this life, you're going to have trouble in this life. That's just how it is. If you want to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself daily. And we try to figure out as humans how not to deny ourselves, how to make it as easy as possible, how to live a Christian life and not have a cross. Pick your cross up. It's okay. You can carry it. The Lord will help you carry it. It's doable. There's eternal life that results from it. Don't try to avoid it. It's okay. It's for your good. If it's the life, it's the cross that the Lord has appointed for you, be willing to take it. But today, it seems like we try to avoid it. We try to figure out ways to where we don't have to deal with the hardships that come, the sacrifices that are associated with being a Christian. I thought about the verse in Proverbs a couple pages back in the 22nd verse, 22nd chapter. I believe I got a hold of this when I was a teenager. The scripture captured my attention because it said, "There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." Who is he talking about? There's always a good reason not to go out and do what you ought to do. There's always a good reason to be slothful. You can always find good reasons. I better not go out in the street. There could be a lion out there. I better just stay where I am. While there can be some bad consequences to that, I'll be slain in the streets if I go out there. I better just stay put. Solomon says something similar in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. He said, "Well, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Just kind of get into that place and that attitude of heart and state of mind where you don't have a sense of urgency. You're not really keeping your heart with all diligence. You just kind of let go. You avoid the tough discussions with yourself and with God. You know, as managers, when you have people that work for you, they have all kinds of, you know, training and discourse on having the tough discussions. It's necessary to be willing to have the tough discussions. They're not pleasant. Addressing things that aren't pleasant with other people. Be willing to have the tough discussion with yourself, with God. Have it. He already knows about it. No reason to hide it. Be willing to have the tough discussion. Be willing to be honest with yourself and with God. Be willing to get it all out into the open. Be willing to dig down and with diligence search and try your ways and turn again unto God. That's what Lamentations said. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto God. Do it daily. I don't want to be spiritually slothful. I don't want to be inattentive to the details that the Lord has for me to pay attention to, because there's going to come a day I'm going to stand before Him. My children are going to stand before Him. You all are going to stand before Him. And I'm standing before you this morning. I have a responsibility to preach the truth, to be faithful. And you know what? You have a responsibility to me. You have a responsibility to me to live the truth. You have a responsibility to diligently, for yourself, get a hold of the Spirit of God that you know what the truth is, so that you can help encourage me and help keep me along the way. Paul said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You have a responsibility to me. I have a responsibility to you. I want to be attentive. I want to be willing to recognize, get my hands around the fact that the Word of God has practical application in my life and in my heart, and it's going to mean something. So what happened here? He went by the field of the slothful. He went by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. Why was he void of understanding? We can read this and say, well, the poor man didn't know any better. If he would have known, his field wouldn't have looked like that. But did you know that he got to that place over time? He got to that place because he was exposed to something that wasn't right. He became familiar with it. He began to tolerate it. He began to accept it, and pretty soon it began to define who he was. And then pretty soon it didn't look bad anymore. That's how deception happens. That's why the scriptures teach us, don't be deceived. You know why? Because the very definition of being deceived is believing something that's not true. There are people that live in ways that are wrong, but they're not deceived. They know that what they're doing is wrong. But then there are people who are living lives that are wrong, that are sinful, and they think what they're doing is okay. Because they've been deceived. Now there are some, I'm not talking about those, who haven't come to the knowledge of the faith. I'm talking about those who allowed themselves, followed the path that the enemy led them down, one step at a time, and deceived them to the point where they no longer knew what truth was for what it was. And they thought everything was okay. A man void of understanding. He could have had understanding. Maybe he had the opportunity. Maybe he didn't understand, but he avoided the opportunity to understand because he was afraid of what it might mean for his life. And we do that many times. We don't want to dig too deep. We see it a certain way. Maybe we've never seen it differently. People say, well, I don't see it that way. Have you ever seen it that way? Nope, this is the way I've always seen it. I've never seen it any differently. I don't think that's necessary. Have you dug with diligence to find out if perhaps truth is different than how you see it? How diligent were you? Well, I didn't really want to go there. They don't tell people that. Because I was afraid of what I might find. I was afraid of what I might discover. Void of understanding. He went by filled with the slothful, didn't take the time, didn't expend the energy, was afraid of the work, the cross that it might represent, so it just stayed back. And he said, a man slothful, void of understanding, and he went by, and what did he see? It was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered it. The wall was broken down. I don't want my life to be overgrown with thorns and nettles and the wall to be broken down. It affects so many. It affects me. It affects others. We get ourselves in those situations and we find that it's kind of hard to extract ourselves sometimes from the situations that we get into, the consequences that we had, lacking in spiritual eyesight. So what's the result? Well, we just read it. Thorns, nettles, walls of protection. You know what walls do? What is the purpose of a wall or a fence? Why do people put them up? Provide separation. Pardon? And I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget. Listen, a wall is a wall of separation, and it has there's an intent to keep the good things in and keep the bad things out. So walls, they do a number. We could have a whole message, and I'm about out of time. We could have a whole message on the value of walls. Walls have gates, too. Fences have gates. See? Gives you a chance to try the Spirit a little bit. Find out if it's of man or of God. If it's of God, you can open your gate and let it in. But you don't just let everything in. So you have some standards of protection. You have some walls. We erect some standards of protection in our lives, practically speaking, on what I do, where I go, what I put on, how I act, what I listen to, how I live, what I let my affection go out to. I've got some walls I put up. because I make them in a safe place and put them in such a way that I can keep some of those things that would do me harm out while I maintain some of the good things in. Here, they were all broken down. They weren't there anymore. Just a free flow. Not keeping up with the things that came in and the thorns and the nettle. Pretty soon it started growing over. How did it all come to pass? Overnight? Did the wall get broken down overnight? Did you have a big strong wall and you got up in the morning and it was gone? No, that's not usually how it works. Here a little, there a little. Little sleep, a little slumber. Well, I don't think that's so bad. Well, I know it's a small weed. I know it's not what's supposed to be here, but I'm in control. I'll take care of it. The next day it's a little bigger and a little bigger. Well, I've got some other things to do. And pretty soon there is a deterioration. And people wake up and the Spirit of the Lord has drained out of their lives and they wonder what happened. They find themselves in such a tough spot. You ever seen cars or houses that are all grown over with all kinds of stuff? You know, on the side of the road when you're driving by and you see a house, nobody lives in it, and it's just covered. Or cars. I was mentioning the other day, I've seen, there's something that piques my interest. When I see a car out in the middle of this big field, and it's sitting out there, you can tell it's sat out there for years and years, and it's all grown over. And you think, I do, maybe you don't. And I think, how did that car get there? Why is it there? When was the last time that car was driven? And what made them decide that it was time to put it right there in the field and never do anything with it again? Or that house, nobody lives in it. Could it have been saved? Why is it just sitting there all grown over? Could there have been some preventative work done so that there could have been some value that could have been extracted from that? There's lives all around us that are all grown over, that are lost and hurt and at dead ends. And you think, oh, that could have been salvaged. That could have been saved. It didn't have to be that way. But how did it get there? Got there because somewhere along the line, the heart wasn't kept with all diligence. People say, well, I'm pretty diligent. The flags ought to go up. Pretty diligent? What about the other times when you're not pretty diligent? Well, I work pretty hard at it. Are you committed to it? Well, most of the time. What does that mean? The enemy is just looking for us to give him a foothold. I don't want to give him a foothold. What did it say happened? He considered it, looked upon it, received it. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. They traveled by foot a lot of times back there. Those times. They didn't get there quickly. You can say, oh, hell, I got a lot of time. He won't be here tomorrow. I don't need to prepare for him today because he's a long ways away. And that's not something I need to worry about. But you know, every day that passes, you get closer and closer and closer to your destination until one day there's a knock at the door. And the person that you thought would take so long that you didn't have to worry about, there he is. Little by little every day draws closer and closer and closer. Be careful with your life. Be careful with your decisions. Be careful with where you pitch your tent. I thought about Lot. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And he could have said, well, I'm not in Sodom. He ended up in Sodom. He ended up right in the middle. Now, ultimately, he escaped with his life. But he paid a big price for it. He lost his wife. He lost his possessions. Sometimes people say, well, I don't see what's so wrong about hanging out here. We hang out in the plains. Well, I'm not doing it, really. Well, I'm not really going there. I'm keeping my heart right. People try to keep their heart right while they're trying to do something different with their hands and their eyes and their feet and their senses. But they tell you their heart's right.